All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, the day before the big listener holiday party is upon us. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here. It's The Usual Suspects. We'll take you from now until 4 p.m., so please fasten your seatbelts, and appreciate you taking us along for the ride as we do our best to keep your mind on other things while you're out and about on your work day. So, fellas, what's up?
Oat in a boat.
Did I say it that way?
No, I'm just saying, if we were in Canada, you would have said oat in a boat.
And then we'd be talking about the organization.
How you doing? You good?
You sound like...
What to do?
You sound like you're still fighting it.
Yeah, you're medicated.
I am, I was telling him, he asked me how I was doing before the show. I said, I feel like I'm trending towards getting better, but I don't feel better. But I think I'm getting better. So okay. We'll just, yeah.
Because I care. So I cared enough to ask. Yeah. Which, you know, you
for,
just.
Yeah.
Well, when you walk in 2 minutes
you
before
know,
the show starts.
I knew,
and I believe he was killing me yesterday about being late.
I just knew. Was I late?
Yeah.
You were. Was I late? Was I 2 seconds late?
If you're not.
Was I in this
minutes
chair?
Early, you're,
was
you're
I
not,
in this chair
late.
When your stupid voice went hot in the into
what
our
what is that
headsets?
Saying? If you're on time, mm-hmm. you're late. If you're 5 minutes before time, then you're on time.
That's or early.
I mean, who was the first one in the studio, Joel? Technically,
me.
No.
Yeah. Barry was the first one in.
I was
this
recording
studio.
A show earlier.
You can
in this very studio.
Not, no.
So
well,
what was 94.1 or whatever. Hey,
that's why you're wearing a pink hoodie. Get out of here.
I'm not wearing a pink hoodie.
What is that?
Is this pink?
That's pink.
Damn it. I'm colorblind.
Just see Joel's face. He was like, what? You don't
love
know
to
you're
help you out there, Nick, but there's just no escaping that
is it
one.
Pink? I think it's red. It's like an off red.
You are very, I can tell.
Can I call it a flat red?
Nope. There is no such thing as flat red. You,
I made up a color.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I can tell. Now you wear your pink hoodie, you're going to be sassy all day. Watch out, y'all. Puss
Forever 21,
claws.
Man. They might start selling the pink hoodie.
Meow.
Shoot me a text, man.
Kitty got claws.
Shoot me a text. I'll call my girl Siri. She's loyal. She does what she's told, man.
What?
So you sound worse, but you feel better.
I'm feeling better. I've been sleeping a lot, which is really nothing new.
No.
I mean, I sleep a lot anyways. But I tried to get a decent amount of sleep last night. It's really hard, though, man. And this is going to sound so weird. But you ever notice how you can lay a certain way and it opens up your nasal passages?
Yep, absolutely right.
That's the so like all night long I'm like, oh, I got to go back and lay that way again because it's just it's really weird when you're like we sleep with a box fan blowing on us.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I love the noise, the white noise, and the cold air blowing on me. So it helps me sleep. But it also if you're sick and you're like can't breathe and your mouth is open, oh my god, it's like someone dumped a pound of cat litter in your mouth. You're just dry. And just,
yeah. Ugh. Yep.
Yeah, so trying to deal with that. So trying to get some sleep, but I'm getting there. I feel the back feels like 90% better. We're almost there, so I should be good tomorrow if we do some Oklahoma drills.
Keep that cup below the desk, please.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't need you putting it at eye level or above because you might be in traction by tomorrow.
Let me tell you what. The last three times I've gone to get in the car with a drink, I've been really careful to put it on the roof. Like, I'm
bet.
All slow. It's got me nervous now. Like, I feel like I would do it again.
I feel like you would, too.
Yeah, so I've got to be careful. But other than that, would you...
Oh, don't worry about me, fellas. I am
what's the prognosis?
Wallowing in... Man. So...
You didn't even tell the people yesterday.
I did not.
Yeah.
So, we have a dog that is going to cost me as much as a small car. The story goes that from the time that Lisa found the dog, Sophie, on the side of the road when she was 4 months old, she had been bitten by a bigger dog. The bigger dog's eye tooth had gotten... underneath its jawline, and she was going to die without surgery. So, of course, my wife just went, well, let's just do the surgery. No, we'll worry about the price later. So we did that. Then this dog needed, for some reason or other, she got into a tussle with another dog, one of our dogs, and turns out needed her salivatory glands removed, which I didn't even know that dogs could do, right?
Yeah.
Well, I found out $3,000 later.
Oh, my God, no.
So that's done. So then one night, oh, about 6 months ago, I'm watching TV and Lisa's like, babe, the dog just, she's limping. I'm like, she'll be fine. She's like, no, she's limping. I go, do you really expect me right now to do something? She goes, the animal hospital down the street's 24 hours. Take her in. I'm like, right now. 2.5 hours later and several expensive tests later, we found out she's fine, but she just needs some ibuprofen for dogs. So I go, okay. So we got through that one. So then there's this weekend where I bring all the dogs back from a run and Sophie is deciding to not use her back leg. And I'm going, oh, Lord, please not again. And I'm like, well, you know what, Lisa? This is just like the last time when I took her in. She just needs some anti-inflammatories and not to go on the runs for a couple days. She's going to be fine. No, 3 days later, it got worse. So yesterday at our preliminary vet, follow me here, fellas, because with each stop, you can hear it go cha-ching.
Yeah.
So yesterday we went to the regular vet, our regular vet, who said we could do x-rays here, but they're going to redo them at the specialist. I'm like, what specialist? She goes, oh, you're going to a specialist because we can't figure out if it's a torn ACL or not. Well, my biggest fears were confirmed this morning. As Sophie has a torn ACL, surgery will be next Friday.
And what's the damage?
Oh,
how much?
Any guesses? If the salivatory gland was $3,000,
I'm gonna say somewhere in
the 4,500.
Yeah, I was about to say 4,500.
Both of you a little heavy. Thankfully,
2,500.
$3,800.
Get rid of the dog, man. I need a used car.
I'm telling you. Believe me, I said, at least because look, when starting with my initial vet visit, I said, so what if we do nothing? Because it's not completely torn. And they're like, well, we don't recommend that because we'll give her
give
her the anti-inflammatories. But really what that does is it forces the body to create scar tissue and she might get arthritis quicker. I go, she lives a luxurious life. If she doesn't run as much and she has a little arthritis, but I save that money, I'm good. And Lisa's like, oh, no, she's got to have the surgery. Here's the other kicker. And I basically somehow managed to not show my emotions to you guys yesterday. During the show yesterday, and again verified today, I got a text from Lisa that said, babe, I don't want to alarm you, which I never love.
That's never a good start.
I don't want to alarm you, but the vet tech told me, once we fix this one, within 18 months, there's a 65% chance she'll blow the other one.
Oh, I'd be like, well, there's a 100% chance she's going to run away, quote, quote.
I'm like, we
bad ACL and all.
Are done. And she's like, well, I didn't want to like upset you. I go, upset me? The first one upset me. And all this other stuff. And so I'm sitting there all morning, and I'm like, and it was piling on.
Joel, I'm your friend, so I'm going to tell you this, and you're not going to like it because it's the truth. But you got to put your foot down. You've got to put your foot down and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to. The dog's not even an athlete. He's just a regular ass dog. He can just heal on his own. Yeah. She can heal on her own. Just you gotta, dude.
This goes deeper than just me and Lisa.
Do you know how many
either
Packer
because her mom
you can buy
is a huge dog fan and loves so, and she's gotten her mom involved.
If she was a hoarder, would you make her stop hoarding?
I'm already saving. I'm already.
She hoards dogs, bro. She's a dog hoarder.
This is exactly what I'm. But I am manipulating the system.
How?
So I'm like, you know, those Christmas lights she wanted. She wanted to pay
the
guy.
Not happening.
I go, well, babe, there's money we're saving right there. No Christmas lights this year on the outside of the house. That saves $300 to $500 right there. So we'll take that off the price tag. So I'm already cutting back on everything else to go. If you want to pay for this surgery, we're going to start cutting some other things.
I take it neither one of you are getting Christmas gifts
nope.
now.
No. Nope.
Well, at least you got out of having to
Although
shop
her
for
birthday's her. The 3rd of January, so I'm screwed there.
But. I wouldn't. I'd be like, no. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday. Look, your dog can walk.
I wouldn't. Yeah, you would.
Nuh-uh. I'd be like, happy birthday,
no,
your dog
Barry,
can walk.
No, Barry, I like sex, so therefore I'm going to make sure her birthday she's taking care
I'm trying
care.
To get laid, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to cut off.
She'll get over by
What's
Valentine's.
That? Cut your nose off to spite your face? We'll cut other things off to spite her birthday
she'll
if I
get
did
over
that.
It by Valentine's, and that's when you make it up for her. Go to clients, get some jewelry, and she's good to go.
And it's like it all stockpiled. So while I'm in the waiting room to get the final diagnosis that I already know is coming today, right?
Right.
I get a note. I get a call from Taylor School. She's got a 101.7 temperature. She's got to come home, and she's not going to be allowed back at school tomorrow without a doctor's note.
Dude, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
Huh?
And then last night, our Chihuahua, for some reason, decides to get like this coughing episode, like, but loud, as loud could be. It went on, Barry, from 10 p.m. until 2:30 in the morning.
Did you put it in the garage?
No, but because Lisa wants the chihuahua to sleep on the bed by her.
Oh, no.
And then she's like, babe, I can't sleep. Take the chihuahua. I'm like, so I'm on the couch watching the game I'll with the chihuahua, and I'm like trying to get her to stop going like loud crazy.
Yeah.
Finally, at 2:30 in the morning, I had had enough because I had not slept once. And so while she started to do the, I grabbed her, put her on her back, started rubbing her belly and her skirt, and all of a sudden it went away. And I'm like, I'll be 3:30 in the morning. I finally went to bed. Man. I'm like, this entire 2 day period has sucked.
You got dog drama for days, bro.
And
you
gotta, a kid. And
I'm telling
you,
you got to put your foot down. Mm. If she think about this, she's a hoarder. She hoards dogs and their problems. If she was like, if your house, like you had aisles to walk in because everything else was boxes of stuff she had bought from the Home Shopping Network, you would, damn it.
Here's the thing that pisses me off the most about all this. So because we spent all this time at the specialist dog veterinary place out in Sugarland, we know them all. So I'm texting the one doctor going, we need to get her in before the holidays. When can we schedule surgery? She's like, oh, well, good luck with that. Let me know how the front desk books in for you guys. But then she pops in during the time that I'm there and goes, hey, we've got a tech here that's got some kids. You think they can get up some Rockets tickets? And I'm like, you want me to get them tickets, and you can't even hook me up with a deal on, like, the surgery or something?
Hell no.
Help me get an appointment before Christmas?
No. Did you tell her to kiss your ass?
No, I walked out.
She probably bit his lips and gave him that
look. I walked out. I was like, Lisa, you can finish it from here. I'm going to work. I can't take this anymore.
Oh, my God.
All right, so 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, open right now, but you know it likes to fill up. You can call or text that number. You can also hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. It's the usual suspects. That means it's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we continue to roll on with the second segment of the show, everybody's here present and accounted for as we get ready for the big holiday party, Christmas party.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to everyone out there with the Christmas party tomorrow. If you don't know, then you've been living under a rock. But we start at Klein's Fine Jewelry tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. The festivities will officially kick off with the bench. They'll take you along with Raheel, Dell, and John through 11, and then Charlie will kick off the Nick's Place portion of the program and fun festivities, and we'll go after Charlie, then the Blitz after us, and we'll be there till 7 o'clock.
I'm trying to figure out what time I'm going to get there.
Yeah, I was just telling Nick. I had planned on going to Klein's first.
Yes.
And then the when Charlie goes on the air, head over to Nick's at some point.
Yep.
But with Taylor possibly having to miss school, that monkey wrench may have been thrown into that.
So you might be out the whole day?
No, just for the Klein's part.
Because
I had to wait for Lisa to get off off the air and come home, and then we trade off.
Gotcha. A couple texts to catch up on before we get to Marvin and his call. He wants to talk Rockets Heat. They had a game last night. Rockets did.
Yep.
Why don't you invest in some pet insurance, Joel?
You know, Nick asked me that, but it's kind of too late.
It is now, but with all those pets, you probably would be doing well to have
pets. Can you imagine, though, the insurance adjuster or the person that stops by the house and then realizes, oh, I'd be probably paying more than my mortgage damn dog.
It'd be cheaper than $3,800 per ACL, and you got to get two of them done.
I better not get two of them done. Let me put it that way.
Good Lord, Joel. Sorry about your dog and money. Damn, screw being a beer salesman. I should have been a vet. That was from NASCAR Johnny.
Yeah, and I play hoops with a vet.
No hookup.
And so he was like, give me the rundown. So I got to call him after the show and tell him what the diagnosis was. But he's like, yeah, I got a guy that I went to school with, but he's not board certified for the ACL surgeries, but he'll still do it. I'm like, he goes, it'll save you like $1,500. I go, yeah, and then it'll break again or it'll snap again. No chance. We're going to do this the right
way. Pink Valkyrie on Twitter said the lesson here is that Joel needs to give more love and then things won't go so crazy.
Yeah. That's not a lesson at all, Pink Valkyrie.
I would agree with that. Joel, you need to give more love. You need to be nicer to me to start with.
Well, that's
don't worry about Nick. Just be nicer to me.
That's just not going
to
happen.
Now, normally, I wouldn't read this text because it's kind of mean to you. But when you see what it says, you'll understand why I'm reading it. The text just simply says, garden talk greater than Joel complaining about life. So, suck it.
Callers and tweeters better than that text right there.
And then someone, AT&T said, can we get Nick on camera? I want to see this pink shirt. Who wants to see his pink outfit? Switch the camera over, Nick. Get ready, AT&T. You're going to see Nick with a chicken wing in his hand, eating a chicken wing. Where's the wing from?
Yeah, Nick, give a little shout out and love to your peeps.
Gridiron Sports Bar and Grill over in Sugarland on Highway 6. Y'all should definitely check it out.
Okay, I see you. With your pink hoodie and your wing. And are you eating that with your pinky up?
Stop.
Because you're fancy. You're fancy.
Stop talking to me.
All right, puss. Eat your wing. It looks good, though. I wish I wouldn't have ate.
They're tasty.
No one told me.
They are very tasty. And I found out once I got here. So great job, Nick. Nice to meet Jerry and the crew. Yep. And appreciate bringing some lunch.
And then last text, and then we're going to get to Marvin's call. Dad's a vet. Pet insurance is a joke. Well, there you go.
So
that settles that.
One way or another, they're going to get you.
That's right. All right, let's take Marvin's call.
Okay.
Make Nick work while he eats.
Yep.
Marvin wants to talk Rockets and Heat. Marvin, what's up?
Yo, my favorite boys from H-Town. How you guys doing?
What's up, man? How goes it?
I'm doing pretty good. Listen, I appreciate the shout-out the other day on the show. I got a chance to listen to the podcast.
Very good, man. We appreciate you.
Joel.
That's your guy, right?
You could pay with all those bills you're paying for your dog, you could pay my hospital bills right now because I'm listening to you guys from my hospital bed.
What happened, Marvin?
Marvin, what's up?
I got, unfortunately, I got some health problems going on. They're trying to figure out why, I've been passing out lately and what's been going on with my stomach. So,
oh, damn.
I'm fighting through it. You guys, you're making my time a little bit better.
Well, we appreciate you, man.
We
take
saw
care
the,
of yourself.
The YouTube video. We put it out there because we know you're a fighter, man. So we know you're going to fight through that. But lots of good thoughts for you guys. What's on your mind with this Rockets and Heat deal?
So, with the Rockets in the Heat tonight, we already know what James Harden is going to do. He's going to put up about 30 points, 30-plus points tonight. We know what Chris Paul is going to do. There's really, in my mind, there's one X factor tonight in how the Rockets could potentially beat the Miami Heat. Because Miami, they're a fighter. They play defense, and, they've lost a lot of close games this year. And that's Clint Capela. Can Clint Capela, can you guard Hassan Whiteside? Can you keep Hassan Whiteside off the backboard? Because Hassan Whiteside was down over 13 rebounds a game and blocks over 2 shots a game. So as if you're Clint Capela, how do you stop Hassan Whiteside from taking over the backboards and taking over that game from a defensive aspect?
Well, here's a couple things, Marvin. First and foremost, you can get in Hassan Whiteside's head because he's certifiably nuts. And if he gets mad at Spoelstra or the officials, he will definitely bail on you. But a bigger thing than that is Capela. It's not a guy that's going to outsize him or outstrengthen him. I think that Capela can put a body on him. But here's the other thing, Marvin. On the flip side, I'm going to give you a little other X factor. There's a thing called South Beach. I would tend to guess that when the plane landed last night from Houston, that there was a certain contingency that didn't go right to bed. Okay. That gives the Heat an advantage at home. Just something to keep an eye on.
You say you think Capela physically, Whiteside's not going to impose as well. I mean, do 25 pounds difference between the two.
But he's not a lot. He's not a Nene type build. He's not going to go down there and really plant his ass on the block. He's active. But again, he's one of those guys, if he's active and he's not getting touches, he'll fade on you. He'll start mailing it in, and the other night, it was last week, he went to the locker room early because he got so frustrated he wasn't in the fourth quarter, and he just bailed early and went to the locker room.
Oh, wow.
So when the Rockets, people don't realize this, the Rockets had him on their D-League team back in the day, and the reason why they weren't adamant about putting him on the roster and making sure they take a shot at signing him is because he's just not always going to be focused on basketball the way he should be.
Sometimes you want that guy to develop somewhere else, right? He's a little off between the years. You want him to kind of mature a little bit, whether it's developing on the court or from a personality standpoint. Sometimes teams just don't want to deal with that, and they'd rather them develop somewhere else. And that's my guess on why the Rockets passed up on him. But I've heard a bunch of stories about him.
Yeah, and
it's a lot.
So it's one thing you spend the money on a Ryan Anderson, and then he just doesn't pan out with your system and the way he plays. It's another thing to spend a whole lot of money on a guy, and then you find out after the fact that you took a risk. And he just doesn't, it's not in his DNA to give it everything he's got.
It also it makes sense now, because last night I'm watching the game thinking, why on earth did they sit in an eight and not play him tonight instead of tomorrow night versus the Heat? Yeah. But it does make more sense when you look at Whiteside and his frame, and it gives you an opportunity to have a big body that you can put in there at times. And because, I mean, when you're looking at the Wizards in that lineup, Bryant isn't physically imposing. He's about the same size as Capella, at least it looked like it. So now that makes a little more sense when you think about it with Whiteside and some of the bulk that he brings.
And Mike D'Antoni pretty much said that before the game. It's part of the reason why they brought up Isaiah back up from the G League, is because if in the event that they play small, they can go small. And if they don't, you know, they can put a bigger guy like Nene or somebody or Clint or whatever the case may be. So he's adjusting the lineups according to the opponent. So
that makes sense. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, that's why. So Hartenstein is back. He was sent back down after the game last night.
Oh, was he?
As well.
Yeah.
So he got a little run less. He didn't look bad last night. He got some cheap calls. Yeah. But yeah, Hartenstein would be kind of out of his league against a guy like Whiteside. Whereas, you're right, with a vet like Nene, he's got some tactics too where he can slow him down a little bit.
Yeah. Real quick before we go to break, somebody said, the vet told me the same thing about my dog's ACLs and mentioned how much. I told the vet, no thank you, walked out. 6 years later, the dog can't jump. No big deal.
Yeah, see, that's what I said, because I was pushing for the fact that, so the arthritis sets in a little earlier, but it's fine, and she,
if you can't jump, you can't jump. Okay.
And here for all you texters that think you have these big, massive elephantitis of the nuts, and say, hey, you know, at least you know what you're getting. Look, no one's complaining. I love our dogs. I love my wife, and I'm fine. But I'll handle my business. You handle yours. It's just that when business starts crunching the pocketbook like that, it's like, holy cow.
But shout out to Marvin, man. Get well soon, brother.
Yeah, Marvin.
Take care of yourself.
We love you, brother. Yeah, he's calling again from Philadelphia, so he's listening from Philly. We got a new suspect when we got him on the show, and so we support you like you support us, brother. And we're pulling for you. So there's that. So that's awesome. All right, we're going to head to break. Before we do, I'm going to tell you about Gallery Furniture. It's not too late if you're entertaining folks at the house this holidays to get new furniture so you can upgrade the look and impress the people that you have coming over to the house. All you got to do is get to Gallery Furniture. One of the three locations, all three locations, same deals and great customer service. You can go to the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. You can go to the Galleria area, and you can go to I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which of the three locations you choose, same customer service, same great deals. And what they say is what they're going to do across the board. That means if you see it on the showroom floor, you're going to get it delivered to your house that same day. The rule is within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, you will have the delivery guys at the door delivering your furniture from the store. And it goes from there. Customer service is fantastic. If you need the movers to move something out of the house or rearrange it to another room, they're there to help. The finance department is going to make sure you get the payments when you need them and when it best suits you. And of course, more so than anything else, you're going to get solid wood American-made furniture from brands like Stickley and Stearns & Foster and Tempur-Pedic. They last a long time. How do I know? Because furniture in almost every room in my house is from Gallery Furniture, and it's still as good-looking and solid as the day that I bought it. No instructions, no tools, no nothing but great furniture that is going to last. Leather and upholstered furniture and open late to better suit you for the holidays till 10 o'clock every single night. The most important thing Mac tells you is exactly what they're going to do, too. That means Gallery Billy will save you money.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half hour of the show. 3 hour extravaganza. We're only in hour number one. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. Having some fun, having some wings, thanks to our good man Nick, who has the neighborhood establishment that he frequents, stopping in and bringing us some love, and we appreciate that.
That's right. Gridiron Sports Bar and Grill over in Sugarland, over in my side. Literally a block
our
away.
Our side,
Joel and I. Well, yep. Do you ever go to Gridiron Sports Bar?
I wasn't aware of it, but I'll stop in.
No, but I go there a lot. It's a good spot for wings. They've got 20 TVs.
Damn.
Jerry Flowers, the owner. Super legit dude. Not only does he own that bar, he's also a licensed REMAX real estate agent. Yep. He served for the United States Army for over 21 years.
Damn, 21 years.
For over 21 years, Jerry has served. So how can you not trust a dude that served for the United States Army for over 21 years?
Yep.
So he's a licensed real estate REMAX agent. So if you're interested in buying a home, definitely give him a shout out. You can give him a call. I'll shout out the number right here in a second. But also, if you just want to buy a beer, Gridiron Sports Bar and Grill. Like I said,
buy a drink, then buy a house from him.
Yeah.
281-265-5533. I have his business card right here.
That would be the number to...
That's his office for REMAX. You need a house. 281-265-5533.
That's not the number we're using to...
What?
To reach out to Jerry, though.
Oh, you're using his cell phone? I have that, too.
Yes. It's the 832 number. Do you see an 832 number in front of you?
832-702-5241.
That's the number right there.
832-702-5241. Call that man. Dude, he's got 15 jobs like me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And you guys saw Serena in studio. She's she's talented, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Big fan of Serena.
Well, now you made it creepy.
As well you should be.
I didn't make it creepy.
You made it creepy.
Serena and I are cool. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We're cool.
Yeah.
So if your name ends in Airy, you have at least 15 jobs on your resume.
That feels like it, right?
Barry and Jerry.
Because I was like, wow, Army vet, REMAX, bar owner.
Yep.
Just like you.
Lots
line
of jobs.
Line dancer, DJ.
Line dancer is not a job, Joel. Line dance instructor was a job.
That's the job.
Made me sick.
Close enough.
Did y'all watch the game last night?
I did.
Surprise. I did too.
I knew you were shocked I did.
Yeah. No, I watched the game last night, and I haven't watched a lot of games, but I'll give you my 2 cents.
Were you sober?
I was sober. I felt like this was more like the team of last year than any game that I've watched so far this year.
Okay.
Not great defense, but they hustled on defense. They got after it. They got some stops when they needed to. They were all over the court flying around. You know, I thought it wasn't great defensively, but it was a good effort by them. And then, of course, the offense looked more like the offense of old. Getting out on the break and running. Lots of 3 points. Obviously breaking the record with 26 three-point shots made. And I love that the crowd was in it at the end and chanting for them to make the three-point shots. So this team last night, you know, I've been saying all year it's a bad product. Bad product, I don't want to watch it. And I've watched some of the games, but that product last night was more of what I was used to seeing last year than anything else I've watched this year.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have.
I have notes, but go ahead, Nick.
I thought it was a good 3-point shooting off. I mean, I like the offense. I like it when they're making shots. I like it when Chris Paul is making shots. I feel like when he is able to get out of a shooting slump, I feel like the entire team plays a little bit better. But like I said, I'm going to stick to the same thing I said 2 weeks ago. The narrative, I don't imagine it changing anytime soon until they make the right additions. What Mike D'Antoni is doing is a great job because he's working with what he has. He's adjusting lineups accordingly, and he's adjusting minutes, and he's trying to make this team look a lot better or as close to that 65-win team that they were last year. But I still don't see – I'm not going to be sold on them as a competitive team unless they get a solid amount of wins.
So you don't
think
this is sustainable then?
I do not.
Is what you're saying.
Not with this team.
I don't think there's any way you can expect James Harden to go 40-plus
He's going to get tired.
Night out. Yeah, it's going
to – Capella gets tired.
That's too much weight on one man's shoulders. And, Nick, you touched on what I was going to say. Chris Paul can't afford to have these slumps, and especially with the new contract and all the money he's making and how – and I know everybody says, well, you can't judge a player by the money he's making. Well, you can when it affects what you can do outside of the roster that you have in making moves because you're cap-strapped with all that extra cash going to him when he could have given some back so that you would have had some on the table to do some other things.
What do you need from him, though? I mean, like, you're saying slump. What do you need from him?
He's got to make more shots more consistently and not even just the three. I mean, we know he's such a great mid-range shooter, but, you know, even those haven't been falling. You look at him, and he still looks kind of a step slow, and that is concerning to me. But the biggest thing is they're going to score points, and we all knew that. But the biggest thing to Nick's point about how much help they need and if they can get it externally or not is you got your defensive coordinator back. So you got the guy that runs the system that most people know what to run. The problem is the guys running it defensively aren't the same from what you lost. And that's where I have concerns. When you play a top-level team in either conference, you're going to need the bench and you're going to need defense. And right now that's what concerns me is the fact that I don't see this bench being able to sustain leads. And you saw a little bit of that last night. And you don't see this bench being able to provide what you had a year ago, which was that stopper unit that could come in and get you stops when you really need it. But Thank goodness they're playing a lot better. I just worry James is going to break down because that's a hell of a load he's carrying right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised because offensively they're still not in the upper echelon scoring-wise. But, I mean, defensively they're hanging around the top 10. They're 11 right now in points allowed. So, again, I feel like it maybe isn't as bad, but nor is it as good when it goes well. They're somewhere kind of in the middle.
I actually agreed with you. It's not as bad. I mean, I actually wasn't disagreeing with you. I just don't think this is the team that's going to be competitive come playoff time.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I would agree with that. I think this is a team that's better than they were at the beginning of the season.
Absolutely.
But I don't know that this is a team that's making a deep run and challenging whoever is going to come out of the West. Because you'd love to say it's the Warriors, but my God. They're looking pedestrian right now.
Klay Thompson is in a shooting slump.
They look normal. The Warriors lost to the
Jazz last night.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, they're missing some things. No, because Curry and KD both had more than 30, and they still lost to the Jazz last night, a team that the Rockets beat. So if you want to have some hope, a team the Rockets beat the other night at home just went out and beat the world champs. And both guys on the Warriors had big nights that you needed to. You know who's killing the Warriors? And you mentioned Klay Thompson's slump, but Draymond Green is back. Not making shots. Not even close to what he was bringing before.
I mean, the Warriors for the run that they've had, we know that they're going to put up points, and they always have. Mm-hmm. They've also been really good on the defensive side of the ball, and they're just not this year. They're not playing as well. In fact, they're giving up more points per game than the Rockets are.
That's
which would surprise you. But that's part of their problem is they're just not there defensively either.
That's what I'm alluding to with Green, too. Green was kind of like your Swiss Army knife on defense. He could guard fives, fours, threes, twos, all over the place, get you the rebounds, and if he has to, he starts the break. He looks like something's wrong. Something's still not there, and I don't know if that's the lingering effects of the argument with KD, if his health and his toe just isn't right, but everybody's going through it. It's just, can you persevere and get wins while you're going through it? At least now the Rockets are stringing some wins together.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's the very minimum. If they can do a bunch of 4 or 5 win streaks, like, I'm okay with that. I don't know if it's going to bring them back to where they're at, but if they at least keep up the fact where they can go 3 or 4 games with nothing but wins, I think that's going to help at the very minimum.
They yesterday, got from 14-7, by the way, fellas. They're now in. I was going to say,
yesterday they were in the 10th spot. One win, and it catapults them to the 7th spot in the West.
It's amazing what 1 year will do now. I mean, the West is completely different. Yeah. The Warriors don't look like the championship team that they were last year. The Rockets certainly don't look like the team that they were last year. The West is open now.
And it's funny because you say the Warriors don't look like the team last year. They're one game back.
Yeah.
It's not like they're in 14, but that one, they've lost 11 games. When's the hell? It's just like the Rockets. Like you wouldn't expect to see them losing 11 games until sometime in February or March.
So with all that parity that's still there and it's still not insurmountable to get back into it, the one team that I keep telling you guys about is a team that I watched play again the other night, and I am impressed. Denver Nuggets aren't going anywhere. There might be some of those teams that are sitting in playoff spots right now that are going to fall back, and you and I had talked about that, about teams like Dallas, Memphis, probably going to slip a little bit. But, man, Denver's loaded. They got some players. They can get up and go, and you want to talk about a home court advantage? Yeah, South Beach gives Miami a home court advantage. That altitude in Denver is no joke. And if you got to go play there in Denver, you better be prepared. You're going to be sucking some wind.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that every year, but you've got to have the talent to go with it, too. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference this year, is the fact that they've actually got some players on that squad. You're right. I already expected them to be kind of starting to fade, because you're starting to see Mavericks, they're out of the top 8 now. Memphis is out of the top 8. So teams are starting to, both of those teams lost 3 and 4 in a row. Denver has won 4 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10.
Jamal Murray is unbelievably good.
And they're playing defense. They're only giving up 103 a game.
Because they all got that same kind of guy that you had here in Houston, which is that lanky wing guy that can play multiple positions, run the floor, get stops, grab rebounds. And I'll tell you this, the one thing that you got to factor in that people don't realize, Denver's done all of this. Isaiah Thomas hasn't played one game for them yet.
Yeah.
They got a weapon that can come back.
And the Thunder, too, man. Don't sleep on the fact. I feel like the Thunder
story there
are
too,
flying completely under the radar. Like, everybody's talking, what's wrong with the Warriors? And look at the Nuggets and Toronto and Kawhi. And no one is mentioning the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're just rolling along. They're 20-10. They're one game out of first in the West. Just ho-hum. Plus 6-9, almost 7 points in the plus-minus. So
yep.
Don't sleep on the Thunder either. And also don't sleep on the fact that if you need a present for the wife or the significant other this holiday season, and you're running out of time, by the way, you need to call my guy, Mark Klein, at Klein's Fine Jewelry. We're going to be out there at the Christmas party tomorrow. And while you're there and while you have a chance, pick up something for the wife or significant other. Mark, how can you help the folks this holiday season?
You know, anything in diamonds, diamond pendants, earrings, bracelets, anything in jewelry. You know, we got 4 days left. Just think, if you're driving right now in the car, you're thinking, where can I go and get something for, and it doesn't have to be expensive, whether it's $100, whether it's $200, whatever it is, she can open that box and have diamonds for Christmas. It's the most fantastic thing. You're going to have a great Christmas if you do that. So anything in jewelry, diamond pendants, earrings, bracelets, whatever you need, you give us a call at 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388. We'd love to take care of you.
Do it. Get out there. He made me a hero with my wife, and this was before we had even really known each other. I just asked for a recommendation. Someone at the station said, dude, go to Klein's if you need jewelry. And Mark, I'm going to bring my ring tomorrow for my wife. She wants to have it dipped, so I'm going to be there. I'm getting in line with the rest of the customers, man. I need your help.
Well, that'd be fantastic. We'd love to have you out here.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, Mark. 832-316-1388. Whether it's rings, pendants, bracelets, earrings, watches, whatever it is, call Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. They've been in business since 1969. They're going to take care of you. They took care of me. And if you're looking for their online, check out KleinsJewelry.com. That's KleinsJewelry.com.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to CultureMap.com. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Knee deep in hour number one, 3 hour show. So plenty still to go if you want to join the show. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We were talking a little bit about the Rockets. We talked about Harden. You guys were tweeting and sending us messages about the fact that, hey, they may need help, but I'm good with where they are because James is a monster. Bottom line is that monster cannot sustain that level of play all season long without some help. That's why I'm saying Chris Paul's got to be more consistent. And whether it's Eric Gordon making more shots, wherever they need to tap into resource-wise to get a little extra, you guys, I'm not a Rockets hater. Look at statistically over the course of the NBA in history. What James is doing is ridiculous. When you talk about he's in the company of Clyde Drexler and Michael Jordan, guys that have put together stat sheets of 40-plus points, 5-plus rebounds, 5-plus blocks, 5-plus assists, all the things he's doing to stat sheet fill right now, and they've needed it. It's great in short doses. You can't expect that all season long.
But there are guys out there that sustain that or close to it. I mean, not LeBron 40. And Kobe.
Not
and,
40.
Well, of course he's not going to.
Well, but that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to set the expectations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not going to score 40 every night, but there.
I think this is actually the year where he might score more 40 points because they're depending on him so much.
That could be true.
It's not the fact that he's not going to be able to consistently have 40-point games. He's probably going to have these 40-point games, and the Rockets are going to lose more than they win with him having these great games. That's the problem.
At the risk of sounding like I wear a pink hoodie, he looks good. He looks in shape. Like his definition is better. And you can, to me, I can always tell what kind of offseason James has had and what kind of shape he's in. All you got to do is at the free throw line, just look. Is there any definition in his shoulders and arms? Because if there's not, then you know he's not in shape. And last night, it's one of those things I noticed. Because a couple years ago, after they had the really good run, and he was runner-up for the MVP, he came back out of, I think it was the Kardashian
year. Yeah.
You could tell he wasn't in shape. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where, last night, I was like, okay, this might be the beginning of them making the push to get back to what they were last year. Not saying they are. But stuff like that is what you notice, and you're like, oh, that's a good sign.
And remember last year, we were giving James Harden all this credit for the fact that he wouldn't sit, and he always wanted to play. And he goes, I don't believe in sitting. And this year, he actually asked Mike D'Antoni for some rest.
Oh,
remember?
Nice. Yep.
In the fourth quarter, he asked to sit down because he needed a break. Now, good on him to be able to recognize that. He got the breather he needed. He came back, and they actually ended up winning that game. But I've never seen James Harden.
Well, you notice D'Antoni changed the pattern. He almost always goes out at the end of the third for the start of the fourth, and then he goes all the way through for the majority of the fourth. They've switched it now to where he starts the fourth, and they give him a 3 or 4 minute break in the middle, so he comes back even more rejuvenated. And that's a great move, because you're right, Nick. But here's the other thing. He's got to capitalize on big leads and sit down. And you can't worry about
that's
stats
what he wants.
And
that's
playing.
The whole goal. Build that cushion to the point where you can get James Harden a breather, and hopefully that cushion is so good that in the event that that cushion is kind of chipped away and they're not necessarily leading as much as when James Harden was on the floor, when he comes back on, hopefully he'll be able to hit the shots that he needs to. Now, if you sit down and Gerald Green picks it up, that's even better.
If you make a cushion for the pushing joke, I'm out of here.
I'm not. I want to ask you guys a question, though, because everybody knows they broke the record for threes in a game last night with 26. Yeah. And as I was watching that, I thought about this question for you guys, which is, at what point do teams just say, we know what they do, more so than any other year, it's so three-happy, we're going to take it out of, either we're just going to overguard the perimeter and just say, take your twos and try and beat us that way. Or at what point did they just, and Scott Brooks looked like he was going to start to do it last night a little bit, just double James. Most people do it in the fourth quarter, but just double James from the get-go and say, I dare the rest of the roster to try and come up with enough points
to
play. Beat
us. I mean, you double James anyways, right? That's the play.
But most teams, to save energy, don't do it till the fourth quarter.
Here's what I thought, though. I thought a lot of those opportunities came on the break, and you have to decide, are you going to guard James down the middle, or are you going to guard the perimeter? So when you, if they come down and run a set, if they come down and set up the offense, then you have to make those decisions. But if the Rockets run the ball and they're doing that, because D'Antoni's lowered the expectation as far as shots. Remember, in Phoenix, he wanted a shot by 7 seconds into the shot clock. He's now on the six, and they mentioned it on the broadcast last night. He says he wants a shot up within 6 seconds. So it lets you know they're pushing it up the floor, and if they do set their offense, it's not going to take long for them to get a shot up. But if they're doing it in transition and on the break, you just have to pick your poison at that point. And I think that's where they're better, is if they are pushing the tempo and pushing the ball, which is what I saw last night.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how sustainable this is, this whole thing, and when teams make adjustments, like we were talking about, to see if they have the personnel to be able to do that and execute it defensively, and how much they're going to, because as long as they get a little bit more help, they can score with anybody.
Can I give a shout out as well? I know you did, for Jerry. As you know, I told you I was going to be at that award show in January, and so I had to go get fitted for a tux. Mm-hmm. And I went to Michael Wiesenthal, and I don't know if that name rings a bell with you. Remember Harold Wiesenthal?
His dad, Harold,
owned Harold's in the Heights forever. Yep. So that's where I went, and you talk about a guy that knows his stuff. It was, dude, it's crazy. I mean, you can go to, like, just any store.
Yeah.
But when you go to somebody that knows what they're doing, he took two measurements, and was able to fit me entirely in everything that I needed. I was like, how did you, like, he didn't even measure my neck. He knew exactly what size it was. It was crazy. Like,
he hugged you?
No. Oh. Just two measurements, and that was it. He just looked at me, knew what size coat I wore, two measurements, knew exactly what size shirt I needed. It was crazy. Waist and I don't know, something else. It was pretty impressive, but yeah. Michael Wiesenthal, he's in the Frost Bank building at 610 and Bel Air Boulevard.
Okay. Oh, I know exactly where that is.
Yep, I worked there
for years.
Joe Van Chancellor, I got all my stuff from Harold Wiesenthal. Takes care of me. I look good.
It was crazy, man, because he had a book, because I met Doug there, and he had a book that he had to give to Doug, and it was a book of some guy, some blues or jazz musician. And he had a picture of him with his dad. And I was like, man, I never met Harold Wiesenthal. Mm-hmm. But I know of him. Like, my family grew up in the Heights.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, it was.
Van Chancellor did, because he learned from all the Rockets guys. Everybody said, you got to go to Harold.
Absolutely, Harold, man. And Heights, now it's my M. Wiesenthal Men's Collection right there on Bel Air, or in Bel Air, West Loop South. So
there you
check
go.
It out. Yeah. Appreciate him, too.
All right, we got 1 hour in the books. We got 2 hours still to go in the big show, so plenty of time for you to join us. HRNP Lister Line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Quick reminder as well, Sigmund Bloom, done for the year for us because he is moving today. So hopefully if you guys have gotten all the way to the championship this week, you know what to do and your lineup will pull you through.
Start Mahomes. Remember, that's what he said. Just whatever you do, when I'm not here next week, just tell people to start Patrick Mahomes.
There you have it.
That's it. Start
Mahomes.
That's
our tidbit for the week. So,
there's your fantasy segment. Start Mahomes.
If you guys want to reach us on, you can call before, during, or after the Sigmund Bloom segment because there won't be one. And you can line up. We'll stack them and rack them and get you in just like we normally do. We'll be back with hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I must now imagine, let it rock, let it rock.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.